Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Bad Take Boulevard coming up in 15 minutes. I know you can't wait for that. Send all the bad takes that you've heard over to Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Also, we're giving away Houston Cougar, Alabama Crimson Tide tickets. Number one Cougars, number eight Crimson Tide. First top 10 matchup in Fertitta Center history coming up on Saturday. Pair of tickets going to a lucky listener, coming up at some point in the 2 o'clock hour. We're talking about Lovie Smith, the odds of him being fired. I'm surprised how split we are. I think there's a 70% chance he's gone. Blankers thinks it's 50-50. Brendan's on the other side. He thinks there's a 70% chance he stays. Where are you, Houston? 713-780-3776. Not what you want, what you think. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lawrence, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Lawrence?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, why don't we go higher? Who do y'all think will actually buy the franchise from Calvin there? I think it starts from the top on down, right?
Jeff Bezos.
See, Lawrence, I think it's not going to happen. Like, I haven't even allowed myself to entertain the thought of who's going to be the owner. I even made a bet earlier with Blankers that the McNairs will own this franchise for at least the next 5 years. So I don't know if we're really doing anything by talking about potential owners for the Houston Texans.
Again, I've heard Jeff Bezos has already been start the vetting process to make sure he checks all the boxes. The NFL wants Jeff Bezos to be an owner. I think that based on how Dan Snyder has mishandled the Washington franchise and the fact that he's been willing to put it up for sale, I think it's more likely Bezos gets a team before the Texans ever become available.
Yeah, I think Bezos could own a team.
But I prefaced it by saying before right. the Texans would ever even become available, I think he'll be an owner.
Maybe in Washington.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Maybe he and Jay-Z. I don't know. 7815. Lovie will be gone 100%. That's what fans want. Ownership is easily influenced. See, what's funny though about 100%? The ownership being easily influenced is that the ownership was easily influenced to hire Lovie Smith.
You know, I actually think if they fire Lovie Smith, I think you have to give ownership credit. I'm sure people won't want to, but if they're willing to go out there and fire a coach,
I would agree with that.
For the second year in a row, I think you got some credit for that.
Take the backlash. Understand how important it is for the franchise quarterback if that's the way that you go with your draft, and be willing to take all the punishment you're going to receive to try and reap the benefit of doing the right thing for your team going forward. I agree with you as well.
Yeah, I just I would give credit. I like bravado. I like bold. Like, I don't think that you should make easy decisions in sports. I think a lot of times the right decision or decisions that are difficult, we were talking about it a little bit during the break, that the Dodgers are not interested in Carlos Correa because they're worried about their fans. What? Like, you're trying to win a World Series title. The Dodgers have not been able to win a lot of World Series titles. They won one in the COVID year. And you're saying that we're not going to try to increase our chances of winning a World Series as optimally as we can because we're worried about our fans? I don't want an ownership group like that. I don't want an ownership group that's listening to the fans. I've always been told you listen to the fans, soon enough, you're going to be sitting with them. That's what I've always been told.
I think that's a ridiculous way of thinking. It's the same way that at least we were open to discussing Cody Bellinger. If Cody Bellinger didn't completely crap the bed on his entire career with the numbers he's been putting up, and he was a legitimate bona fide corner outfielder, or in this case, center field and or other outfielder that hit, 275, 280, could hit 30 bombs, could do a lot of things, the Astros would be silly not to at least consider it. But if that's the reason why you won't consider it when you have a gaping need for a shortstop with Trey Turner leaving, you're an idiot.
The Bellinger thing to me is because I think Bellinger now sucks. Like, if Cody Bellinger was going to be the MVP and has been to the MVP, that's cool. Like, fine. I'm willing to overlook certain stuff if you're going to bring great production. But whenever you suck, I'm not doing that. I think it's silly what the Dodgers are coming out and saying that about Carlos Correa, at least reported saying that. 713-780-ESPN. We're all split on what the Texans are going to do with Lovie Smith. I've been, like, last segment we were talking about the, you know, you should be rooting for utter failure, total and utter failure. I was operating with the chances that the Texans are going to fire Lovie Smith at 70%, and I wanted that extra 30% to be the reason that you're having this total and utter failure. Like, Brendan, you're at 30%. You should be rooting for the total and utter failure even more. Like, I should be selling you even more on that. If you don't think they're willing to move on, then you need to be rooting in these last few games, I mean, to look just completely embarrassing like they have all year
long. I've told you that I basically have shifted that way already at this point.
Sure.
I mean, it's very clear they're the worst team in the NFL. I don't think there's such a gap between them and the second worst team in the NFL that it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way. I want them to have that top pick.
Right.
I don't know that I'm totally convinced it matters what happens the rest of the way, whether or not Lovie gets fired.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, but I think it makes the decision easier.
Sure,
because
maybe a little bit.
If you continue to go backwards, you continue to regress, it continues to look bad, where maybe you don't win another game. Maybe you get beat by 20 against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Like, you force the decision.
I get the thought. I just feel like it's been, I feel like it's been pretty embarrassing to this point. I get that this team wasn't good. I don't think it was, it should have been as embarrassing as it has been. And I think at this point you have to have an idea of whether or not you're willing to fire him.
Sure. 0426-5050 for Lovie. There were blankers. 8029 is a non-Texans fan looking in. Cully is looking like a better head coach than Lovie. I think Lovie will be fired after the year. That's such an outrageous thought that I don't necessarily know if you can be wrong. Like, I mean, Cully, with what I think is a less talented roster, I think the Texans are currently more talented than they were a year ago. Cully with a less talented roster, they won 4 games last year. Lovie Smith ain't getting to 4 games this year with a more talented roster. Now, I don't think it's fair to look at, you know, head coaches there. I think the whole coaching staff, though, I think last year's coaching staff minus head coach is better than this year's coaching staff minus head coach.
Yeah, look, and I mean, I understand that everybody's belief is it's a complete bleep show. But I think that, as we talked about, Lovie's easier to scrutinize because it's Lovie, it's the coaching staff, it's the style of play on both sides of the football, it's the quotes, it's the media, it's the locker room, it's the players, it's everything to where you can get more definitive in terms of why Lovie's not the right guy going forward. And again, if the team really truly cares about the perception, if you continue to just look like a complete embarrassment, it's going to be real easy. But Nick Caserio in year 2 of a 6-year deal that has had some power but not all the power, and when you factor in Easterby and factor in the Brian Flores situation, how it altered the second coaching search, and the fact that he's done some positives too and some negatives when we continue to weigh it out, it's too early in the overall evaluation of Nick Caserio to cut ties with him just yet. But it can be real easy to be the right time to fire Lovie and his coaching staff before next season.
So, you know, a few people on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5/8489, you can't fire Lovie without firing Caserio. I think most of the time that's true, though. Like, most GM head coach situation, second head coach that you hired, I think that it's reasonable to make that thought. But as we talked about earlier in the show, I don't think that it's fair to pair Nick Caserio with Lovie Smith when I think it's very obvious that Nick Caserio had zero to do with the hiring of Lovie Smith. So why does Caserio, who never wanted to hitch his wagon to Lovie Smith, also get the axe for, you know, alongside Lovie Smith?
Right, and the thing that I go back to is, if Cal was so hypnotized by Jack Easterby, and that Caserio, we talked about this, and that Caserio knew that Easterby was the guy that really went out and said, we're still going to focus on Nick Caserio and bring him in, and whether he felt he owed him one, or he knew because the owner loved him that he had to deal with him, he was making decisions. And I know from people internally during those years that Jack Easterby still had a firm grasp on almost all areas of the business, football and otherwise, to make decisions. That's not the ideal situation for your general manager to form and shape and put together your roster, your football side, your coaching staff, all those different things. So I think it's very unfair to say, yeah, that wasn't fair, but it's all on you. You're fired after 2 years. And oh, by the way, no owner wants to pay the remaining 4 years of that deal and pay someone else.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's two different discussions, and I don't think Caserio's going
to
get fired.
The money thing is hard for me to completely buy into that. Like, sure, no one wants to just pay off another general manager.
I know they got it, Jeremy, but I know that owners are still, based on how they made the money other than Cal.
But what's been the history with Cal? Cal has always been willing to pay off dudes to go away. The history tells you that.
But it's to your point of why they have to have complete and utter failure. He did it after he knew there was just no other way to go. Bill O'Brien was the wrong guy for the job when he got rid of Bill O'Brien. But Bill O'Brien, I don't know how many years he had left, but it wasn't like...
But if you feel that way about Caserio, wouldn't you bite the bullet?
I think a lot.
I think the holdup for you here is that you don't think Caserio should be fired. But I think I personally think
there's enough to, positives to build on sure. as well and look, to let him keep giving, but giving
if,
himself
I'm just
a
saying,
to
if you were on the other side, you would think that Cal would pay him off to go away. Just like you paid off Easterby, just like you paid off O'Brien, just like you paid off Cully, and just like he's going to have to pay off Lovie.
See, but I don't think Jack had a long-term deal either, and I think that's a lot easier to swallow than it is at whatever.
Okay, well, dismiss Jack.
What's Caserio making, six?
Dismiss Jack. You got David Cully, you got Bill O'Brien, and if you fire Lovie Smith, Lovie Smith.
But if you believe that Cully's contract was written to where he really doesn't have to pay as much of what people were guessing that he had to pay.
That's a lot of what ifs, though. Like,
well, there's a lot. I think I want to say Florio, but several people came out after the decision was made saying they had clauses in there where they really don't have to pay him more than I think half a season or what. But it's a bigger deal 4 years than it would be to eat one final year or something like that. Yeah. I'm just saying, owners are, as much as they have a ton of money, they still don't like to just give it away for free.
Toxic Texan, is Smith 100% is the coach next year? Does that change opinions on not taking a quarterback in this draft class? If Lovie Smith is the head coach next year, you can't take a quarterback at number one.
Because he'll ruin him or can't. Start to ruin him.
Yeah, I mean, just I need a quarterback to be in an ideal situation. I want to trade
but
down.
I did tell you, though, the one way that you can at least survive that 1 year is if you get an offensive coordinator that can be more modernized to work with an incoming potential franchise quarterback. But if it's still the same coaching staff, too, then there's no way.
Yeah, I'm out even on that. Like, absolutely Toxic Texan. If Lovie Smith is the head coach next year, you can't take a quarterback at number one, in my opinion. 713-780-3776. All of the bad takes on the week, of the week. Tweet them at Pac-Man Joel if you have any. Bad Take Boulevard with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, Bad Take Boulevard. New title sponsor, Bad Take Boulevard. The Wheelhouse. The Wheelhouse title sponsor of Bad Take Boulevard. I understand that they're a little bit upset that they haven't been getting credit for the invention of Bad Take Boulevard,
For
our first Bad Take today on Bad Take Boulevard is a bad take by the Killer Bees and Branham specifically for not citing the Wheelhouse for the creation of Bad Take Boulevard. So from this day forward, every Bad Take Boulevard, we will be citing the Wheelhouse, and we'll also remind people how Bad Take Boulevard came to mind. Stoot said that I had a bad take for saying that I'd rather win only 4 games for the Texans with a bunch of young players as opposed to winning 7 games with a bunch of fighting Rex Burkheads because Cody thought that the Texans would win 7 games. I said there's no way they're going to do that. I want to play the young players and develop and get as good of a pick that you possibly can. And now he wants the Texans to draft Bryce Young with what? Number one pick of the NFL draft. You know what's funny, though, is that all the bad takes they feel that I have, they always come around a few months later. That one with the, embrace the suck. Justin Verlander, early September. Oh, he's lost his mind not wanting to play JV. What do you think about JV leaving, going to the Mets? Well, that's great. The Astros can spend the money elsewhere, and they couldn't afford him. Branham never wrong, just early. Pretty soon they're going to be saying
never
they won
wrong.
Caleb Williams. Pretty soon they're going to say they won
Caleb Williams.
Never wrong. Just early.
Never wrong.
Just early.
I was on
never
board
wrong, just
with
early.
The rant and everything going on with it until you said never wrong.
Never wrong, just early. Obviously, that's a line. Obviously, I'm kidding. I'm wrong all the time. Never wrong, just early. But that's the first bad take for Bad Take Boulevard. Of course, presented by The Wheelhouse. What's your first bad take?
My first bad take is that there are still members of the Mills Mafia that believe, just like last year, it is playing out again, and that the way Davis Mills crapped the bed in his first go-round as the starting quarterback after sitting down for a while once Tyrod and Tyrod Taylor got hurt, that he was a different player at the end of the season and showed why he should be the starter. The Mills Mafia still exists, and there is hope in their eyes that, guess what? He's coming back to do it again.
That doesn't exist,
after
right?
After sitting out for 2 weeks, I heard it from multiple people, after sitting out for 2 weeks, Now that he comes back, even Lovie said it. He's had a chance to observe from the sidelines and see and learn and know the things he wasn't doing right the first time. And now, look the hell out.
He was good last year when he sat out a couple of games.
Maybe you're a member of the Mills Mafia that believes this.
No, I don't. I'm not a member of the Mills Mafia that believes this. Here's another bad take. It comes from our good friend in New York, Michael Kay. He said that when Jacob DeGrom signed, this was his take. Give DeGrom credit because that $37 million a year is worth way more in Texas, which doesn't have a state income tax, than it would have been worth in New York or California. I've always said all sports should find a way to even the playing field by placing tariffs on Texas and Florida teams. He wants us to go back to like the American Revolution and have tariffs in place for teams that are in states that don't have a state income tax. Unbelievable.
I do think it's kind of funny.
Kay. It is hilarious. I agree that it's funny. It is funny. It is stupid. It belongs firmly on Bad Take
was
Boulevard.
Was he serious?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a really good joke take.
Oh, I don't think that he was joking. I don't think Michael Kay has any personality. I don't think he has a funny bone in his body.
You know, it's funny because he's commenting on it from a Mets perspective, but he's really just the guy that's known as like diehard Yankee guy. And the fact is, Michael Kay is always looking for the distinct advantage of working for the team with the most money, that spends the most money, that knows that they're always going to overspend the most money in baseball. And because of that, they get players. And he loves every bit of that. He loves the way that they monopolize the system when they can just overpay to get everybody.
One of the things, too, exactly. And, like, there's more media opportunities in New York and L.A., so, like, you might be able to even, have a better, you know, gross income if you go there because of the commercials, because of advertisement, the bigger market. It's part of the reason LeBron wanted to go to Hollywood, all of that. So, like, it kind of evens out. Also, one of the things that people always ignore here when it comes to the math on no state tax, players and athletes, whenever they go play in states like New York and California, even as visiting teams, even as visiting members, like when the Astros and Jose Altuve go to New York, when they go to L.A., they have to pay tax on their earnings when they're in that city.
I did.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it in my check all the time. It annoyed the hell out of me. And the first time they did it, they didn't tell us they were going to do it. And I was like, whoa, I'm looking at my check. Why am I paying taxes in all these different cities? Yep. They were like, well, you worked, right? Mm-hmm. And you worked in those states, right?
You earned income in that state.
That's right.
You earned income in that. So the math is always fuzzy on that. Now, for the 81 games they play at home, Astros case, when they play the Rangers, when they go to other states that don't have state tax, obviously they're not playing state tax there. But whenever they go face the Angels, all the games you're facing the Angels, all the games you're facing the Yankees, you do pay state taxes for earning an income in that state. What else you got, Pat?
Well, the one thing that I've heard from a couple different people is that nobody cares about college basketball in the city of Houston. And I've heard that over and over again. But the thing that I would push back this year on in particular is they're selling out every game no matter the opponent. The one thing that I dealt with when people had that argument about Rockets basketball in the regular season and the playoffs was they clearly did not show up to the Timberwolves playoff series or the Utah Jazz on a Tuesday night. Here you're selling out the Fertitta Center every single night. I think that people have the misconception that it's been the way it's always been and therefore no one cares. I just think not enough people still care about the Houston Cougars basketball team. I think if you're selling out the Fertitta Center, then that you show that there's a portion of the population that truly does care. I just think that needs to be a higher number. There should be a greater number of the population.
I'm all for more support of our very fine Cougar basketball team, number one in the nation. Very, very proud of the support, too, of the U of H Cougar volleyball team. That's playing in the Sweet
Stanford,
16
right?
tonight. Stanford, yeah. Congratulations to them. Go Cougs. I would push back a little bit here and say that the Cougars have sold out every single game at the Fertitta Center this year. The demand very high Saturday. The secondary ticket prices are through the roof. So the demand there has been great. Always will always, always encourage more support for the program. If you have tickets, make sure you're there. You're filling it up. They've done a great job doing that this year. So I think that the demand has been there and the interest is obviously there as well. Always would be happy for more, though.
But I'm saying, from a day-to-day basis, people don't even know when they play. They don't pay attention the way they should.
The fans that are going do.
That's my point, though, is one, there is a portion that cares. I still think that number should be greater. But the thing that always bothers me is the portion that cares go to the games. The people that don't get tickets to the games and get to experience it firsthand should care more still.
I'm cool with that. I always take more support. All right, Bad Take Boulevard. Lamont. Lamont has landed firmly on Bad Take Boulevard. He called me Skip Bayless earlier this week. Lamont, look, I might have some outside-the-box thinking. I might have some ideas that every other show at our station's talking about and some dudes from Highway to Hell are posting Instagram videos about as well. That's cool, but I ain't Skip Bayless. I'm not creating inventions in thought. Everything I might believe, it might be radical, it might be crazy, it might be out there, but I can promise you everything I say, I believe.
Jeremy, I wish I knew that you were going to have Lamont on there. It was my fault. I could have looked. I told Lamont, like, right before the end of our last segment, we weren't going to have time to get to him before Bad Take Boulevard.
Well, yeah, I'm
Lamont
sure.
has landed on Bad Take Boulevard.
I guarantee you he's listening. I guarantee you he's available.
For calling Branham Bayless.
Unlike the wheelhouse,
here,
Lamont, make sure your phone connection is good, because I know you don't, it's not serious enough to worry about it then. But if you're going to call in, make sure you got a good solid connection and a good phone line so that you can give us your rebuttal, because I'm not going to go at Lamont like that.
I got in Lamont, it's all out of good fun. You know I love you. I got a friend named Tyler. We call him Tugboat Tour. He said over the weekend, Tyson Fury had a fight this weekend. Tyson Fury, I'm assuming, won. I didn't pay attention to this fight. Bad job by me. He said, and you're going to love this one, Blinkers. You're going to love this one. He said that Tyson Fury is a better athlete than LeBron James.
Oh, my God. Stop. I mean, come on, man. Look, I give Tyson Fury all the credit in the world for being a very strong guy, and he can take a punch and all that other stuff. But there's no way that Tyson Fury can run a 40. There's no way that he can jump. There's no way that, you know, he's going to sit there and you know, physically lift weights and do all these different things that is makes you a world-class athlete. To run up and down the floor or the soccer field or the football field. And I just, that's ludicrous to me.
Yeah, that was his take was, well, you know, he's a big man. He's very light on his feet. He's got very good hands, all of that, which is all true. LeBron's about the same size, though, as Tyson Fury. Jumps higher, probably stronger, even though Fury's got knockout power.
Quicker, faster.
Jumps higher. Like, I always view athlete as, like, raw athleticism. Like, get the intangible stuff out of there whenever you're talking about, like, raw athleticism. Yeah, Tyson Fury doesn't belong in the same league as LeBron
James. And obviously, everybody's different criteria how you judge an athlete. But strength, size, speed, jumping ability, it's like taking going to the combine. If you do those kind of things, and then you could also involve like distance running or longer distances, I think that factors in too. I would take LeBron over Tyson Fury. I think one of the other ones I have you're going to like but not like, and that is, as I started the kind of rumble fish of everybody talking about who the next coach of the Rockets should be and Steven Silas on the hot seat, more and more people are telling me it should be Kelvin Sampson of your Houston Cougars. No. And I keep saying the last thing I want to see is anything to derail this golden era of Cougar basketball that continues to get bigger, better, faster, stronger, and more success to it. I don't want Kelvin Sampson to have to deal with all of the extra politics and BS of professional sports where guys make more money and can get a guy fired. You're a little later in your career. You're doing a great job. You stay where you're at, Rockets. You go get somebody else.
I love Coach. I love Coach. I think he'd be great in the NBA. But you know that I'm a Houston Cougar.
Well, let me say that, too. You know, I know him, too, yeah. But I completely agree. He will be a good – good coach in the NBA.
If he went, he'd be outstanding. He'd be great. But he's a Houston Cougar, baby. He's not going anywhere. Of course, I'm biased. I'm a Houston Cougar, and I would always say that. Some people said they hope the best for Deshaun Watson, by the way. We'll close it on that.
Geez.
Some people saying after the Texans played the Cleveland Browns this week that I hope the best for Deshaun Watson.
And more than Browns fans. Browns fans have
it was Houston.
That's ridiculous.
Some Houstonians saying, well, I wish the best.
It was in the newspaper, too, the quotes from the season ticket holders that refused to believe that a guy that is making that much money would be, he was too smart for that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Bad Take Boulevard with the Killer Bees. You can always participate. Send your bad takes that you see through the week to Joel, at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Will anything be any different for Davis Mills? You mentioned that. Will it be any different this time around for Davis Mills when he plays against the Cowboys? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, listen up. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Lamont, by the way, we're going to get to you here in a second, Lamont, so hang tight. We got to give away a couple of things here. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Season of Giving. We're kicking off this holiday season by giving a little extra back to our awesome listeners. Today, we're giving away tickets to see the University of Houston men's basketball basketball team versus Alabama. Your number one Houston Cougars in the inside the Fertitta Center to take on number 8 Alabama this Saturday at 2 p.m. They'll be doing a stripe out of the arena, red section, white section, red section, white section. Going to be a lot of fun. That stripe out, though, you'll get a T-shirt. Anybody going to the game, T-shirt's free. Compliments of HEB. We're giving them away a pair of tickets right now. Caller number 12, but caller number 12 has to say who leads the Cougars in assists per game this season. If you get it wrong, whoever's after you gets that chance. Caller 12 to 713-780-3776. Who leads the Cougars in assists wins a pair of tickets to this sold-out game. Tune in all December long for our season of giving and head to ESPN975.com/season for more info or how you can get involved. All right, so Lamont was on Bad Take Boulevard for calling me Skip Bayless. Lamont's on the HRMP listener line now. Lamont, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Okay, first of all, can you guys hear me well?
Yeah, clearly. We can hear you well.
Okay. It's going to be one of those type of calls where I'm going to butter you guys up. I think that the Wheelhouse and the Killer Bees are two of the best shows locally in Houston right now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I will say that I think that you guys get these kind of reactions out of us. Right now that's going on. And here's where I'm going with the Skip Bayless stuff. I've been listening to, you know, we started off kind of rocky. I'm a critical listener, and I listen, and I noticed something about Jeremy. He will go, and the reason I brought up the Skip Bayless, because you will go all out of your way to criticize, not criticize, but have all these wild takes about different teams, but I never hear you say anything wild or crazy about U of H basketball, for the good or bad. I never hear you, and I was like, because I've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist, so I don't got no problem with that. But I was like, maybe you don't got no reason, you don't have a reason to say anything about U of H bad because you know they're actually good. But with that being said, you have had some wild takes about the Astros, but you never ever say anything wild or crazy out there going against the grain about U of H basketball. And that was my whole point right there. I was like, I don't know about this right here. But here's another thing I'm gonna tell you. Going towards the Texans. You was talking about a 6-year rebuild, and you already know where I'm going to go with this because I already led off with it on Twitter. On Twitter, you talking about it was a 6-year rebuild. How in the hell it was a 6-year rebuild, Jeremy? When Nick Casario took the job, expecting Deshaun Watson to be here.
They won 4 games with Deshaun Watson.
You say what?
They won 4 games with Deshaun his last year.
No. a 6-year rebuild. If you expect them to come into a team with Deshaun Watson, you're not coming into no team talking about 6 years to rebuild this. Come on, man. Let's be real, man. You're just trying to be right now, Jeremy. But and another thing, and my last point.
Hold on. Don't hang up, though. Don't hang up after your last point, because I want to talk about some of these things.
Okay. My last point, and I also told Jeremy about this. The whole state income tax, Houston and Texas like to bring that up. But I would challenge all of the fans on here to go look at your property taxes and go rank your property taxes to all of the other states. It's basically, we have some of the highest property taxes in this state right now. And what I'm trying to say is it pretty much washes out. I think we're paying like 42 in the county that I'm in, I'm paying like 48 cents on 100. So I think that that's all just stupid. You know, it sounds good in theory, man.
Lamont, let me hit some of these points. Let me hit some of these points because we'll get to the market report later. Maybe you can call in and do that for us. And maybe someday when Blank's out, you can co-host me. I think that'd be great. I don't know why we got off to a rocky start. I thought we were cool, Lamont, first and foremost. But the U of H.
Yeah. We always be cool.
I know we are. The U of H stuff, look, I'm an over-the-top U of H homer. Like, that's just the matter of the fact. I'm always going to be pro U of H, even when things are down at U U of H. That's just the way I am because I love my university. I love my school. I love the Scarlet and White. So that's the way it is there. Now, I always gloat about Houston when they do something well. I subtly do it because it's what I do. I kind of subtly talk about things. Number one, Houston Cougars. Undefeated Houston Cougars. So I do gloat more about Houston, but I'm always going to be positive when it comes to my Cougars. That's the reality of the situation. If you're expecting me to say wild, bad takes about Houston, it's just not going to happen because I love my school too much. Now, when it comes to the six-year rebuild, I see what you're saying about if you have Deshaun Watson. If you have Deshaun Watson, like, you're not planning to have 6 years of lousy football. Your goal is not to be at the pinnacle at some point. But as soon as Deshaun Watson demanded a trade, the job changes, right?
No.
What?
It changes, but that's not what you signed up for. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. What wild takes do I have, Lamont? Name one wild take. What's the wildest take I've ever had?
The wildest take? What you really day before yesterday when you was talking about letting Nick Sirianni and the Goober owner predict 2 years into the future.
Trading out of number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. Pretty wild right there. How can we all look at this dude as being some kind of goober owner and saying, even your take today about how can this owner be so inept? I'm going to use that word, inept.
I like that word.
But you can also say in the same vein that he convinced Nick Caserio to take, you didn't say it, but that's what I'm interpreting it, that he convinced Nick Caserio to hire Lovie Smith. Come on, man.
He did. All right, Lamont, we appreciate the call. Joel's getting a little bit impatient.
I'm just curious if we ever got to a rocky start. We've had our moments, but we're good.
Have you ever had anybody have a rocky start with you?
Have a rocky start?
Yeah, you've never had a rocky relationship with anybody, right?
Well, just us excluding the show that I'm currently on, right?
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa. We just took a step in our relationship today by making a 5-year bet, and then you want to go
it.
There.
We've made plenty of bets.
Then you
want to
go
that.
There. But not now, a 5-year bet. 5-year bet is a new step.
Let me question you a question, because you and I are more versed in this than most, right? There is a fine line. I'm curious when you're calling a game, because we know where your bread's buttered, so to speak, right? But when you're calling a game and or the fallout after a game, win or lose, where you're still critical of the mistakes that they made, are you?
Am I critical of whenever?
Like, for instance, like when I was doing Rockets games, I knew who was paying my salary, but I also owed it to the listener to say if they played bad, then I got to call out the fact that they played bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got to keep your integrity, though, you know that there's a fine line that you walk.
If Rob Gray went 1-for-11, I'm going to say Rob Gray went 1-for-11.
See, because I had people come to me after doing that and say, no, you can't blame it on Rob Gray. You have to give all the credit to the offensive player and none of the blame to the guy from your team. And I'm like, that's completely false.
I feel like I'm pretty subjective. And never once have I been told at U of H. Now, it did happen at the Highway to Hell. Never once at U of H. I feel like I'm pretty subjective. Never once have I been told to tone it down.
Oh, see, and I have when I was working for the Rockets.
They're a little more sensitive.
Yeah, they were highly sensitive. The new regime is probably less sensitive. The old regime heard everything and reacted to everything.
No, I mean, if we turn it over 20 times, I'm saying we turned it over 20 times. Too much. No, I feel like I'm subjective, but I've never been told ever at U of H to tone it down. Now, Highway to Hell, a little bit of a different story. Now, Lamont's point about trading down from 1-1, how in the world is that a wild take? Like, how is it a wild take?
It's a realistic take people need to at least consider.
People don't like to hear it. You know why they don't like to hear it? Because the Texans want something. Texans fans want something to cheer for. They want something to turn the game on for. They want excitement. They want some energy. They want some buzz. But trading out of 1-1, with the whole idea of that is to improve the team as quickly as you possibly can. And I feel trading out of 1-1 is unbelievable value. I did the research on this, and we'll do this later. But trading out of 1-1, almost every single, I would say every time, you might argue it, every single time, in my opinion, some might argue one, this millennium, when a team is traded down from one, they got the better end of the trade.
Has anyone ever traded down from one when they needed a quarterback and there were quarterbacks that were going
That's a great question.
Going there?
Yes.
That surprises
me. There's a team that is traded down from number one, and the first pick that they got, they used it for a quarterback. And I mean, I guess I shouldn't tease it. Why am I teasing it for? We can talk about this another day. It was Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning. Now, it was really weird results because Eli Manning was demanding a trade.
I was going to say,
but the Chargers had the number one pick. Yeah. They traded down. They ended up getting Phillip Rivers. They actually made the picks before they made the trade. But ultimately, the trade was Eli Manning for Phillip Rivers, a bunch of sweeteners, and one of those sweeteners turned into Sean Merriman.
Yeah. No,
so
look.
Every single time, in my opinion, when a team is traded out of number one this millennium, they got the better end of the trade. It's not a wild take. It's the right thing to do. It might not be sexy, might not be buzzworthy, but it's smart.
Did you? I was curious. Did you put Cam Newton ever? Did you evaluate him? Because was he 1-1?
Cam wasn't 1-1 in this decade.
Okay.
He was not 1-1 in this decade.
All right. I heard John and Lance bring the name up today. I was like, that's one we didn't talk about.
Yeah. He was not. He wasn't. I only that's went back fair. 10 right. years when it came to top five picks in the quarterback. Maybe I'll go further than that. Maybe I'll go this millennium. I know people
dive,
are dying
baby.
To hear that.
Dive.
713-780-ESPN.
I didn't say die. I said dive.
7137. Who won the tickets? U of H game. Who's going to join me at Fertitta Center on Saturday?
Benjamin.
Congratulations, Benjamin. You're headed to watch the number one, because I don't say anything good about the Cougars. The number one undefeated Houston Cougars. No, I don't think he did.
I think he did.
Maybe I heard him wrong. All right. We'll get to Davis Mills tomorrow. Who cares about Davis Mills? One of three teams left with three wins plays tonight. How much are we invested in that? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
There's an NFL football game tonight.
Yes, there is.
On Amazon. Did the Rams save Thursday Night Football by claiming Baker Mayfield?
Well, they say he's not starting.
Nobody could play.
But he could play,
could
which
suit
is
up.
Still crazy.
How nuts would it be to claim a dude, and then 2 days later, he plays in the NFL game for that team?
Well, then that means that Geppetto, the original Geppetto, Brendan, not take anything away from you, but or the second original Geppetto, would be Sean McVay, who believes that he can get in the helmet of Baker Mayfield pre-snap up until 15 seconds and give him at least as much as he can give him that will be successful.
Yeah, maybe McVay, quarterback whisperer. He was literally a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, with Goff.
But the Rams are a three-win team. Of course, they don't have their first round because Les Snead said bad things to draft picks. The first rounder for the Rams belongs to the Detroit Lions.
They handled the draft better than anybody. Have you seen their draft house? I'm being totally serious.
Have I seen the draft house for the Rams?
Yeah.
This is like their war room?
What? Yeah, but you know where they do it?
No.
On the beach in like Manhattan Beach, they get this three-level...
That's why McVay's drunk.
Grass.
Yeah, they don't even make draft
right.
picks. They don't
so
have picks.
So it's essentially like a bona fide like, a party
room.
House.
That's not a war room. It's a bachelor pad.
Oh, it's sweet, man.
It's a just bachelor pad. Just Kingsbury lives
it's
there.
It's a good setting. I've seen war rooms before. That's a good setting for a war room.
I was thinking about this today. Which I'm getting off topic here. And I don't love doing the player comps thing. But if we think that Jalen Carter is Aaron Donald, because he's an interior defensive lineman that can get pressure on the quarterback. If we think that Jalen Carter is Aaron Donald, and we think that Bryce Young is Kyler Murray, which would you rather have?
Well, I mean, I know the way you're wanting me to answer.
I'm not leading you.
It is easily, to me, especially with the disdain I have for... The way he carries himself, I don't want Kyler Murray. I would obviously love to have Aaron Donald.
I hear some people call like Kyler Murray's comp, Bryce Young's comp Kyler Murray. I don't think it's a fair comp. I think
he's as fast. I don't think he's as strong.
You're talking about Bryce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. I don't think he's as fast, as strong. And I don't think he has as big an arm. Kyler's got a cannon. Now, I think Bryce Young's more accurate. I think he has much higher IQ. I think he can see a defense better. And I think he has the clutch gene. I think Bryce Young's going to be better than Kyler Murray, for what it's worth. But if Bryce Young turns into Kyler Murray and Jalen Carter turns into Aaron Donald, which would you rather have? That's a no-brainer, right? Like you can't argue to me, Kyler. You rather have Kyler Murray than Aaron Donald, right?
It's unanimous. Think as good as Kyler Murray has been, I think Aaron Donald's been better and been more dominant, and I think that's why you go Aaron Donald. However, speaking out of both sides of my mouth, I do realize the quarterback's the most important position in sports. So being pretty damn good at your position, this is a guy that you had in your top 10, I think, at the start of the year.
And I was wrong.
Oh,
you're talking
right.
wrong.
You're talking
you
in one game. A rap career there.
One game.
Well, like, I mean, Kyler Murray's a lot younger. Aaron Donald's career is almost over.
One game.
What do you mean?
Would you rather right now,
or who would I rather have on my franchise?
Whose career would you rather have? If you're the Texans, you're picking at number one. You know that Jalen Carter's going to be Aaron Donald. You know Bryce Young's going to be exactly. It's a no brainer.
Yeah.
If you're drafting careers, you're drafting Aaron Donald over Kyler Murray. That's unanimous, right? I'm not nuts here.
The tough part is that Kyler Murray is young enough that he could change that. But to this point, absolutely Aaron Donald.
I guess that's part of the decision, too, is like what you expect for the rest of Kyler Murray's career.
Aaron Donald. I have one of the best defensive players of all time.
What is he, a three-time defensive player of the year?
I think at least that.
Jalen Carter's like prospect grade is going to be better than Bryce Young. Just saying.
I would compare his draft grades to that of Aaron Donald.
Carter?
Yeah.
Aaron Donald slid.
I know he did.
He just went into the double digits.
Part of it was that I don't think enough people saw enough of him at Pitt, but I believe that, I would just be curious how they would, when Lance and other people do it, I'd like to see the comp.
So I do too. I'm looking forward to Lance's work on that, scouting reports, things of that like. Because Kiper delivered his big board today, and he had Jalen Carter 1, Will Anderson 2. You know who his first quarterback was?
Yeah, I do, because I saw the fact that he still has Bryce Young as his second-rated quarterback.
Yep.
C.J. Stroud is his number one.
No. C.J. Stroud's his number 7 overall prospect and his third quarterback.
Oh, my God. I didn't see who he put there. I just kept seeing under his name that Bryce Young was his second-rated quarterback.
It wasn't Stroud.
Please don't tell me it was Will Levis.
Will Levis was his top-ranked quarterback.
My goodness.
I'm just telling you, dude.
How much is Will Levis's agent paying Mel Kiper? Because we've heard about those stories.
I'm telling you, Will Levis is going to be loved by NFL general managers and scouting report, all of that.
Because of the measurables.
He's also really good. He's really good.
Are you saying just,
I've seen a lot of Will Levis. He's really good.
You say it's the reverse of what we say about C.J. Strouds and the Alabama quarterbacks, the fact that he just doesn't have anything around
him. Now, his second half this season was not good. He got hurt. Their offensive line's like one of the worst Power 5 offensive lines in football. Their best receiver's a freshman. Like, they don't have much talent around Will Levis. But, yeah, like, usually my theory when it comes to drafting college quarterbacks, I love Power 5 quarterbacks for, like, mediocre Power 5 teams that elevate the program. And he was on pace to do that, and then they kind of fell apart late in the year. They faded away. He got hurt. Team kind of crumbled. They fired their OC, things like that. NFL personnel people are going to love Will Levis. I'm telling you. They think he's going to be Josh Allen or Matt Stafford.
Mel, right?
Yeah.
How agents would pay him and he'd prop up their players. And then
it's a good gig if you
and then on
it.
Top of that, when he went out and said Jimmy Clausen was going to be like a top 10 quarterback once I think Carolina drafted him, but it might have been even before he got drafted.
Yeah.
And if he didn't, he goes, if Jimmy Clausen isn't a starting quarterback in this league, and he might have gone further than that to say where he like top 10, top 15. But he goes, but I'll quit my job. And then everybody was like, hey, Mel, you going to quit? And then he wasn't having it. But you don't make those kind of statements because you can be wrong as easily as you can hit on guys.
I mean, that's his job, though, is to make those kind of statements.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But you can miss as well as you can hit.
No doubt.
And so the bigger thing is don't put extra pressure or your job on the line.
Yeah, BMAC hopped into my mentions on Twitter about it earlier. He was not happy about what I had to say. Disagree with what I had to say. And look, I don't think Mel Kiper is the holy grail.
About like, ever don't being get me wrong or just a specific topic.
Me being wrong, I'm never wrong. I'm always, if I'm wrong, I'm just early. Never wrong, always early. No, he just he doesn't agree with me about trading down from 1-1, which is, I mean, I understand. I think he's the majority
opinion.
BMAC and
I share something in common.
Yeah, I mean, it's the majority opinion. I'm not shying away from that. But my point is, I don't believe in Mel Kiper's big board to be the holy grail.
No,
like
No. Or Todd McShay or anybody. I mean, nobody's. Lance gets better than most, but you know.
Agreed. I'll agree with that. But anyways, there's a Thursday night football game tonight. Las Vegas Raiders. I hope Josh Jacobs goes nuts, although he's questionable. They're on the road taking on the Rams in LA. Texans, we feel like, have the first pick locked up. It's not official, of course. The Rams are a 3-win team. There's only 3 teams left with 3 wins, and the Rams are one of them. They play tonight. Are you invested in this game tonight from a Texans number 1 draft pick point of view, or have you totally assumed the first pick at this point?
I've totally assumed that it's the first pick for them and nobody else, but I will say this. I will be peeping the game so that that doesn't get dicier than it has to. I don't believe that Davis Mills coming back is going to do anything to change that, but I would rather just see it be solidified sooner rather than later. The same way they wrapped up the first team eliminated from from playoff contention, I'd like to see them wrap up the number 1 pick as soon as possible. And so I'd love to see the Rams have some Cinderella story tonight and win a game.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that I'd like to rest easy knowing they're going to have the number 1 overall pick, but I'm not too concerned
about it. I'm kind of where you are. I'm not too concerned about it because I have a tough time seeing the Texans win a couple more games. But I've also, and we talk about this a lot, have Houston sports fan battered syndrome.
Oh, man.
Where, like, we've seen a lot of
the Rams controlled their own pick, that I'd be worried about them tanking too. They really have nothing to tank for.
Right. They have something to play for.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't have anything to play for, but they have no reason to lose.
Right. Because the they've given away but the majority of all their picks.
I'll be pulling for the Rams just to try to get that cushion up a little bit more. Like, I've seen enough of Houston sports in my life where you see a good thing on the horizon. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. You think you're that close from doing something big, franchise-altering, and then poof, it's gone. Like, I have lived through enough of that in my life watching sports in this city where I will never, ever guarantee something that's not completely guaranteed. And that's how I feel right now about the Houston Texans' top overall draft pick. I saw some of like the analytics on it. They're like, they're in the mid-80s, 85% or so to get that number one spot. I will be pleased when it's 100%.
I agree.
100%. The sooner the better. Wrap it up. Enough.
Put a bow on it. Put it away. Here he comes.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
I felt pretty good about the Astros in the World Series. I feel pretty damn good about the Texans picking first.
They're not
winning too many games.
Pretty good ain't good enough in this case. Because Jeremy's right. There's been a lot of Houston sports heartache that I don't want to deal with.
I'm going to say it. If the Texans don't pick first, they shouldn't fire Lovie Smith. No, maybe they did something. No. Something happened.
They should.
Because the team that we've watched for how many games? 12 games? That team's not capable of winning two more. They're not.
They should fire Lovie Smith. He doesn't get the number one pick for doing what it is in the worst interest of the franchise.
You don't think they're going to run roughshod on that team in Texas this weekend?
I think they are substantially worse than every single team they play the rest of the way, including Jacksonville and Indianapolis.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
There's no way they're winning two. Maybe they steal one.
Saturday's playing for a job. He wants to win. That's cool. I think Jacksonville's trying to...
Do you think he is?
I do.
You think he wants that gig?
I do.
Huh.
I do. I think that he... more so than anything else, I think he wants to prove to the rest of the league that Irsay wasn't wrong for giving him the job.
I'll agree with that. I don't know if he wants to be the head coach going forward.
I think that he's a strong family man, that they've discussed a lot of this, and I'm sure that they probably didn't realize how much they signed up for. But aside from that, if he truly wants to be a head coach, I think... More so than anything else, from an ego standpoint and from the fact that everybody's given him such a hard time, I believe he wants to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I think he wants to succeed, too.
That's motivation regardless, if he wants the gig or not long term.
Yeah. Saturday's not been good for McCown, though, by the way. It hasn't been good for McCown.
Football.
Jeff Saturday's not been good for McCown. What's coming up on the Wells?
Football.
Is that what's coming up on the Wells? All right.
And Jeremy Branham.
I'll be honest. I know we like to poke fun a little bit. If I'm listening for some football from 3 to 7 in the city of Houston... It's that show.
Football.
It ain't some, Southern
idioms. Hey, which hand do you pick your nose with before you put your lights up?
Yeah, I mean, I know we poke
fun.
Dude. But that's what I'm listening to 3 to 7 each and every day. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. They're also giving away a pair of U of H tickets in the Wheelhouse today, too. So just keep that in mind. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.